Good morning again. So, did you catch what Jesus was talking about this morning here? Verse 1, his disciples, so excited. The temple, Jesus, teacher, look what large stones, what large buildings. And then Jesus asked him, do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another, and all will be thrown down. So there. Don't be too impressed. Can't you just see them walking out of the temple? They're in awe. I mean, they're in the big city, after all. Have you ever been to any of the cathedrals in Europe, and you walk out, and you just feel so tiny because they are so massive? I sort of pictured the disciples walking out and feeling the same way, and Jesus sort of like slapping them down and saying, oh, knock it off. It's not that big of a deal, because it's all going to be gone. It's like a wake-up call. I actually wanted to call Miguel and have him have the choir be ready to do the REM version, right, of It's the End of the World as We Know It. See, they're ready to go already. It's the end of the world as they know it. Jesus is saying, we're almost to the end, folks. It's not, you know, time to just play around and be in awe. Let's get serious and get to the point. It's the end of a church year for us, too. We're coming to the end of our calendar year, our liturgical year. Advent is just around the corner. I can hardly believe it's Thanksgiving, which means the beginning of the Advent season. In Mark's gospel, Jesus here is also really close to the end of his earthly life, the end of his ministry. He's calling them to pay attention. The crucifixion is just around the corner. He's saying, do you get it yet? Pay attention. Pastor Jeff has been preaching every so often about the end of the church as we know it, or the changes happening in the church, the end of what we know as being church. The reading from Daniel we heard, and even it was mentioned in Hebrews, talks about the end times, the apocalyptic literature and scripture that's so often portrayed in movies, right? I mean, we have a movie that's called 2012. Beware, the Mayans might be right. Basically, Jesus is hanging out with his buddies and speaking the truth. He's not beating around the bush. He's not sort of nuancing things for them. He's bringing his disciples down from their place of awe of the temple and calling them back from their trust in the things of the world to their trust solely in God. Calling them back down and reminding them that God is doing something even bigger and greater than this grand building made of stone. In verse 7, Jesus has another warning. When you hear of wars and rumors of more wars, don't be alarmed. This must take place. But the end is still to come. Don't be alarmed. I mean, really. It's like my mother saying to me, don't worry, honey, it'll be okay. Like, really? You're talking about wars and more wars and all kinds of other things that I have absolutely no control over my own safety, and you're saying don't be alarmed? We tried to tell that to everyone who freaked out at the Y2K, right? Or not too long after that, the fall of the Twin Towers and the attacks of 9/11. Nations, they strife and war and rise against other nations constantly, even in our world today. We have earthquakes. Seems like every time I wake up in the morning, my iPhone has an alert of yet another earthquake. But no worries, there's no tsunami. Don't freak out in Hawaii. Hurricane Sandy. Friends on the East Coast are still, some of them, waiting for power, and even others are without everything they own. Global warming, malaria, poverty, and hunger around the world. And yet Jesus says, don't be alarmed. Oh, man. When I hear these passages and these texts, all of them, not just Mark's gospel for today, but when I hear them all, I basically have two words. Life sucks. That's what I hear, right? Life is just difficult and dangerous, and there is war and all kinds of awful things. Famine, drought, plague, pestilence, beware. But there's more. And the more is God's promise to be in the midst of it all and to never abandon. All of us have seen temples fall. All of us have had things in our lives that we thought were sure and steadfast and would never break, and yet they have. The temples that we held on to so tightly, the things that we thought were solid and unbreakable, relationships, our own personal health, our dreams, our hopes, our expectations of life, our titles and degrees, or even the church as we know it, they can and do fall. And I think the warning, the being led astray part, the warning is that our ego or our own hopes, our own expectations, our own fears can get in the way of us knowing the truth. That the only unbreakable, the only solid, the only real foundation is that of God. My friends, I heard a story this past week of a good friend of mine in New England who recently lost her husband, just last week. And the memorial service was yesterday. But what you need to know about this couple is that I turned to them regularly in my first call. She was a pastor, Elizabeth and Sam. He was just a good, solid temple and foundation. Faithful, faithful people. And even more so, her father was my New Testament prof in seminary. Talk about the foundation of the church. Those who I thought would never break. Chronic cancer throughout his body. At age 58, he died. And his wife, Elizabeth, and their two children walked with him through the death. And then at the visitation, they had a service afterward and a collation to follow, and a good friend of mine called and shared the conversation that Elizabeth, now widow, shared during the collation. At the time of her husband's death, in this time of grief and pain, she's telling the story of the birth of their daughter. How when Sam was away for work for whatever reason, she went into labor 7 weeks early. And Sam, apparently, she found out later that the entire time she was in labor, the entire time he had to travel to come and meet her, he was certain that 7 weeks early meant the baby and possibly Elizabeth was going to die. He was terrified. But the baby lived. In fact, she's a young woman in relationship and expecting her first. All in the face of death, Elizabeth is talking about the birth of her child. The only thing real and solid is life found in God. And they knew that. The thing that also struck me about the conversation I heard, because I obviously couldn't be there, was that Elizabeth shared with the crew who were gathered at the table, she said, Sam and I used to always say that wherever we were was home. They moved around to ministry places throughout the country, especially throughout different parts of New England. Wherever they were together, that was home. She said, now I have to find a different home. Home is no longer where the two of us are because Sam's not with me. And her status update the other day was, it's hard to start the day off lonely, but trusting in God. My friends, we never know when the temples fall. We never know when God decides to sort of come and be present. But the trust we have is that God is always there. That word apocalypse, after all, It's not really end times. It doesn't really mean catastrophe. The word apocalypse means revelation or breaking open, taking the curtain away from the truth that it is only God, the true temple. So perhaps it's your own ego, perhaps it's the fear that you have or whatever need it is. Let it go so that you can know the truth. During difficult times, the end times, those birth pangs, there is one solid foundation. Jesus said, watch, wait, endure, stay alert, don't be led astray. God is there. The temple may falter, but the true source of life is always abundant. Amen.